National Forest Amendment Act, the committee has decided that we are going to extend the public hearing. So we will not deliberate on the on that act. So we will only deliberate on the liquor act today. So before we start, we have requested the department to respond on the SAP brewery issue before we have the committee to go into the deliberation as well. And the other issues that were just presented, but they were not from the department. So probably the paper that has been created as a response of yesterday and today. So we're now going to give it to Frank and you're welcome, DG and your team. You are in your hands.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members. We will be presenting our responses to the submission that was made by SAP. We know the submission that came on the 10th from the SAP, and we have then compiled our responses to the input that came from them. Also taking note that SAP has made an admission that they were part and parcel of the discussion, the discussion of the team that went on the bill itself. And our responses will also take consideration of that point. Dr. Sarata will be making that presentation. Thank you.
Chair, before you proceed, we have copies of these responses. So we can proceed, Chair. Now we have the documents.
Let's welcome Pierre. You're welcome. The working student that we have that you have attended. Mr. Sarah.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Was part of the forum that was created by the department on the consultation since 2005. And it has actually been instrumental in drafting the consultation idea that has been in the process and was also accepted by the state board. They are raising, one of the first points that they're raising is that they basically want to reserve their right comments because they have not seen the regulation. the point to be made here is that this is an existing act and there are existing regulations. And obviously, after the bill has been approved and accepted and acted, the process that they are referring to, which is about the regulation amendment or additional letters thereto, will then unfold. So we really do not know why they prefer not to comment because they have not seen the regulations. In any case, since we are now almost talking about the bill, it is virtually impossible that we took anything after the bill. But we have taken note of the comments from them. Secondly, the South African Breweries says the definition of the club designation, which is section 1, and the designation of section 6, they expressed also discomfort around this. And they requested that the prescribed class designation for permissible alternative designation in the draft amendment in the current status in the bill must be published for comment. And we say, if you go to the regulation now, table 10 of the regulations, like I said, the regulations are there because the act has been enforced since 1989. The regulations that are enforced now in table 10 of the regulations currently, there is a prescription of a permissible alternative class designation for all the categories of beer. This will be amended to include the alternative class designation facilities with the industry stakeholders in the forum. For instance, if those will be in beer, will definitely also add the definition of that. So this will be published, obviously, when we'll be talking, we'll be engaging on the regulation, the whole limitations will be taken out for consultation. Number three, Honorable Chair, they have an issue with the what we spoke about, which is the section about which we proposed that it be deleted. The section about special authorized liquor. Special authorized liquor refers to, in the current act, to those liquor products which need, for instance, be produced for sacramental or for religious purposes. We are proposing in the bill that section be deleted because it's not in line with the constitution and that it will be handled under another section in the bill. So they have requested that this category for specially authorized liquor under section 10 not be deleted, as they want to maintain this section to provide for innovation going forward without having to amend the act as of when there's a need for on their part for the innovation. But we're saying the whole structure of the act, as you said yesterday, is designed to be flexible in any case, so we agree with them, and to foster innovation. So especially authorized liquor will be fully accommodated under the new category in the bill, which is termed other fermented beverages, which will also provide, so under that new section on other fermented beverages, that it provides for all possible future developments without the unconstitutional limitation that we have spotted when about the specially authorized liquor category, which we propose that it be deleted. So here, Honorable Chair is saying, having it deleted does not necessarily take away the possibility or the option for the SNB or others to still entertain matters around the special authorized liquor or any other similar situation. The only change we are proposing in the bill is that we delete the section about that talks about the other fermented beverages, because in 1989 it basically was referring to those religious and sacramental beverages. Section 6, alcoholic food beverages. Again, they're saying there's no amendment. We're saying it's not entirely correct that no amendment has been made to section 6. We refer to it as the region of 6.6a and 6b. So in the bill, clearly, very clearly in the bill, this section has been specifically amended as per their comment and the invitation of the wedding is reconstituted Jews or a mix of Jews and reconstituted Jews to allow the use of concentrate or reconstituted Jews. So this comment came from them, and it was shown in section 6 of the bill. Number 5, they say there has to be an alignment between the Liquor Products Act and the Customs and Excise Act. As a department, we are in constant alignment with Treasury and staff with regard to the alignment of that. Staff and Treasury have been sufficiently consulted at the time of the drafting of the year definition, which definition actually was crafted for us by SAP. And so it should therefore be noted that only 5% of market value and market needs is required in terms of the proposed definition. But when staff has introduced a line, a different detailed line for beer with a minimum percentage of with a minimum 50% malt. So there's a different distinction to be made here, the honorable chair, about 5% malted wine and 50% malted beer or malt beer, to which the tariff line is different. So in short, our announcement, dear chair, is that the SAB asked of DAF, of course, as the department, to actually engage on their behalf, because they have got interest on the tariff line. That's our assessment of the 50% malt beer. So we say that actually, as far as the regulation, the business content, we are sorted. But if they need to continue with the discussion, that is the method that they should rather take up with SARS. And it should also be noted that the Brewers Craft PTY LTD, which we made reference to yesterday in their comments, has requested that the percentage of fermentable extracts should be increased from 35%. So this is then a contrast to what the SAB is requiring. This is, they say, the Brewers Craft is saying it is to prevent the use of liquid sugar at high concentration, which will make quick fermentable high alcoholic products and cheaper to produce. So the submission by SAB is then, therefore, obviously in direct contrast with what the previous Crafts PTY LTD is requesting. In addition, Honorable Chair, Crafts has set a minimum requirement for malt beer at 50%, as I said. So if alignment of malt content has to be considered, the minimum percentage of the liquor product X should, as a consequence, be raised to 50% rather than to 50% to 35%. So 35% is, as requested by SAB, is cheaper to achieve, according to specialists, as the higher alcohol percentage. This method, Chairperson, was, however, the consensus was achieved after a very clear consensus during the consultation, to which Chairperson SAB was part. And it attached also minutes of the meetings the consultation, the forum consultation meetings, to which SAB was the junior representative in all the meetings and all the consultations. In number 6, they're saying they need amendments to the section 20, which is about the methodology of analyzing samples. Section 20, subsection 2, already makes provision for the proposal that the SAB requests us to include. But our approach is mainly in a broader form of the scheme of events. This is basically to avoid a situation where basic technical issues are in the bill, and which, because they differ from one product to the other, and they are catered for in the current regulation. So the idea of the bill, as you say, is catered for already, but in a broader approach, to avoid a situation where you narrow the section and get too technical in the section. 7, amendment of section 27, limitation of powers of the the minister. The SAP submission, Honorable Chair, in our view, is basically limiting the powers of the minister. The proposal to amend Section 27 of the Act do not only limit the powers of the minister, I think it will also limit the legislative powers. But our view is that there's no need, because broader consultation will be made, and the whole process will be transparent, and it will have to be done in consultation in terms of the promotion of administrative justice there. This is how we respond to the submissions that have been made to the DG.
Thank you, Chair. We also thought, in terms of the request that was there from the SCD on the regulations per se, on broader consultation, all regulations that are done by government in line with the WTO expectations are widely consulted nationally and internationally. So the request from their side in terms of consultation would be granted on that basis. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Jitian Yachin. I think one of the things that you said yesterday was that SAPC, submitted their submission after the deadline, and their reason was that their CEO was approached, and we requested the department to look at it, whether there's an important element that we should look at, but in fact they submitted their submission very good. So, and thanks department for having go to respond on those issues, which actually will empower the discussion of members that we deliberate on the floor. So, honourable members, do you have any questions on the response of the department on the SAP? Honourable Paulson?
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I'm just concerned that non-alcoholic beer may be subjected to additional taxation because it goes through a process of being alkalized and then it gets heated and sugar added to remove the alcohol. And I just want that, because those also kind of be sold in retail stores as well, so that they don't have the same sort of taxation as the alcoholic beverages simply because they made of hops and go through a process of alcohol. Because if I look at some of the, where it speaks of the content of malt and barley and hops to make it alcoholic, it's something that doesn't have alcohol, it's not alcoholic. But because it goes through a process of being alkalized, you get subjected to same taxation as alcohol.
Honorable Paulson, the Liquor Product Act actually, though the comments bodies. The bill and the, or the act, Liquor Product Act, does not necessarily go to as far as taxation is concerned. I think the two bills and the two acts should confuse even us at this level. We have the Liquor Act, which is by DTI, which is about the sale and the regulation thereof. This is the Liquor Product Act, which is about the content of liquor. So those three comments, I think, could be valid. But as far as our view is concerned, Chair, we only are concerning ourselves with only the content, not the sale thereof. So taxation is more about the sale.
I think before we go into the deliberation from yesterday's report, there was the issue on the Fed bill, Health and Fire Amendment. There was a task that the department was supposed to look at only the financial implications, which we were not happy with the memorandum of attached of the PM. So we can go to that. So with the national, let me just say, with the National Forest Act, we are not liberating mortgages because we took a decision to extend public hearings. So, can we get clarity to financial education?
Thank you very much, Chair. Upon the points that were raised by the Honorable House, we had deliberations of the department, and these deliberations have not yet been shared with the principal in terms of the concerns that they have. And what I will speak to would be the issues that we deliberated upon, was to broadly look at the implications, and our reflection is that the points that were raised by honorable members yesterday were valid. We also looked at the points that were raised by SAPCOM in terms of the voluntary nature of the FPA per se, and how then it impacts even on the financial aspects of it. To say it's going to be very difficult in terms of having a voluntary scheme where government also has got to then involuntarily join in terms of SOEs and the other government departments. However, we also look at the legal aspects of it. The legal aspects would say this bill is in essence not deviating a lot from the previous bill that was on the table. And therefore, the real change that was brought in was this issue around SOEs, around government departments and others that own land to then clear. And we have since indicated that we will then take it back to the principal for a decision, and most likely we will respond in writing to the portfolio committee by next week on where we will be as a department. But we have got recommendations that we will send to the principal. So thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Any questions around issues that were discussed, that members feel that department will hear the response to before we go into the deliberation? Honorable Stay and Honorable Sanda.
Chairperson, yeah, I'm sorry, I'm back to the liquor one. I only saw yesterday after, I didn't think about it again yesterday when you had the questions, and it links to some of the questions that came out specifically from the craft beer presentation that we received. But when I look at page 17, what is consultant, it's consulted by the department. It says here that consultation took place on 1 August 2009 and 8 June 2012. Now, we received this minutes, which I haven't scanned through today, from the bodies that meeting, that advisory meeting, but it looks to me all of them. Page 17 is the bodies consulted. So the 2 dates and that consultation took place between the department and other leads, I presume the list of departments, the list of people that were or institutions that were consulted, was in 2009 and 2012. But Chairperson, when we read through the written presentation and we come to the one by Bruce Sipcock, a question that I had is whether the department has followed up with someone in between, because as far as I understand this craft brew thing, these things are my taking, new taking, people are putting new things and into beer and what they are developing. Do you keep up with the trend? That will this piece of legislation then only speak about broadly, and then all the regulation, all the details will go into the regulations? I'm trying to understand, if we are not putting something in legislation that can then over a year be seen as illegal again, how do we stop that? Because I think the whole process was because of these illegal products on the market, and it becomes difficult for the police then to police that. So I'm trying to check if we are not making law now, fixed in stone, that will then in a year's time be outdated. I don't know if it's clear, because if I look at when the consultations took place, it's quite long ago, 5 years ago. Is there not something new that we are missing?
Chair, before the DG, are we now on deliberations on the liquor products amendment?
Well, on question.
On the liquor product.
Yes, on what we, on all the submissions that were made yesterday, because, on all the submissions that we made yesterday, if there is any follow-up that the members wanted to ask.
Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Let's wait for Honorable Pandalis.
I just wanted to ask, on the papers that we were given this morning, which indicates the minutes of meetings for the Liquor Product Advisory Forum held in Stellenbosch, I specifically refer to the one Thursday, 26 May 2011, where some concerns were raised on page number 4, and it was for the possible carbonation of the drinks, especially the ales and everything else. Was that dealt with in the bill or not? And if not, why not? And then on page 9, it talks about the expiry date on the bottles, on the actual drinks. Some, I understand that some red wines you need to older water, it tastes better when it's older. But some of these things are really, it has an expiry date, especially like it was mentioned there by the police, the staff, by Lieutenant Colonel Southey, that some of these in the plastic containers, when they confiscate it, they need the expiry date on there to be able to discharge of it or to because I believe the bottles are exploding in the storeroom and they don't know when the expiry date on it is. So maybe if you can just explain to us around those two concerns, has it been addressed in the bill, and if not, why not? Isn't it the ideal opportunity to deal with it now? So it's about the carbonation and the expiry date. I would like to ask some questions. Thank you.
Honorable Chairperson, with your permission, I would ask my colleague, who is the administrating officer in terms of the Act, Ms. Yonker, to respond to the questions by Honorable Fontan and Honorable State.
Good morning, honourable members. I would then first respond to the consultation process, just to inform that yes, the bill has taken a long period of time for the consultation to be completed. So the reference that was made from 2009 to 2012 was when the Liquor Product Advisory Forum was constituted, and it took about 2 to 4 years of consultations with all the role players to get the draft bill in place. We've also worked on regulations, and there is draft regulations with the beer definitions, which was agreed with SA Breweries and all of the names that was listed there. Since when there was agreement on the bill, thereafter there were informal consultations taking place since then. Brewster's Craft specifically is a recent company that was established by a lady that first worked for SA Breweries. And between herself and the department, we often email. I do get updated information on craft, because craft beer is something that's new, and it's more innovative type of beer. And yes, the bill has been structured in such a way that it is more flexible, so that it does allow for innovation and for new technology. And we will also, when we are working on the regulation, or when we're finishing the regulations, we will look at, we have drafted the definition for craft beer, but we will then consult further and ensure that the new additives are also made provision for. Under Table 6 of the Liquor Products Act, currently the list of additives for other liquor products are there already. So what will happen then for beer and for craft beer, for instance, if they want to add herbs, then herbs will just be listed as an additive. And sorghum beer and cranberries or whatever the new trend is will then be listed under the additive list. So there is current legislation, and we'll just amend at the time. But we will publish for comments. We are in regular contact. So in terms of innovation, we will not... we have crafted this bill, so it will not stop for innovation, but still that people have at least a basic background, so that there will be an understanding what is the basic definition of, for instance, beer or traditional African beer. To move on to the next question about carbonation, this specific issue will be dealt with in the regulations. Carbonation and also limitation on alcohol levels was something that there weren't agreement on, and that therefore the need for us to further consult, because there was the one set of argumentation that said yes, there should be carbonation, because then it will limit the type of packaging that can be used, and obviously it will add cost to the packaging to ensure that we don't have cheap alcohol that then becomes a social risk. So there was definite benefits in having carbonation added, and similarly to have packing requirements. So those are the two issues that still need to be consulted and a consensus needs to be reached on that. And at some stage, if there's no consensus, then government will have to make a decision whether for the good of the citizens to ensure that, that some products need to be carbonated. And then your last question about expiry date, that's certainly a valid question. I have had consultations with the with staff with regards to expiry date. Currently, legislation requires a filling date on all packaging that's not glass. From the filling date, you can then calculate the expiry date. Unfortunately, expiry dates aren't an international trend. I know that there was expiry dates on some products, but because wine and the legislation prescribes for a certain categories of liquor, like wine, you get after 18 months period, then the wine has to be retasted or it's expired. So that is already in the legislation. And if there's a need for expiry date, at the moment it's doing that. So it can be calculated from there. The concern was that if we add an expiry date and you export wine, then by the time that it reaches the export market, it also reaches its expiry date. That was the concern. I think there's positive reason to have expiry date specifically on packaging that's not glass, because there is oxygen permeability that could lead to wine being oxidized, and also for the containers to explode in the end. So I think this is something that we can take back and work on when you do the regulation. This will not be something that you add in the Act. It is specifications that's already catered for in the regulations, and that will just need to be amended and extended to allow for expiry date. So something I'll take back and work on with industry in the consultation.
Okay, I will still on the follow up on the question, clarity on the question. Okay.
So is it, what I'm getting to, is it totally unacceptable to cater for it in the Act and it must be done by regulation, or would it be possible to cater for it in the Act? I mean, if you don't get consensus, obviously you are officials and you must try and get consensus, but we on the other hand, if we feel strong enough about it, we can put it in the Act. Would because now the Act is with Parliament and we can put that in to assist government if they can't make the decision to do it. So can one get some proposals on how to fit it in and where it would fit in and how that would read? Obviously you must have looked at it in case because you have discussed it, so you must have looked at that option. But you are not comfortable with it now because you don't have consensus with industry on it. If that is the right way I understand it.
Honourable,
yes, I have that same concern. I'm concerned that it seems like we are making legislation to work for industry. And we all need to help industry, but the point is there's a real problem out there. I think one of the issues why this legislation, as far as I understand it, is so important is exactly because there's so many loopholes out there and people get away with murder, literally. Some of this product, in certain packages, become so high, the alcohol content becomes high because it keeps on fermenting, and that's when the bottles or the plastic things explode and all kinds of other things happen. So I'm really concerned about this, Chair. If we don't put in certain more requirements, I think we definitely need to put in a section here that says that the regulations need to come back to the committee or to Parliament, in any other committee then where it's needed, because we need to we need to make sure that we protect citizens out there. We can't put it in legislation. And then, Chair, I just want to make sure that I understood the answer correctly on the craft beer. If we don't have a definition for craft beer now, does it have to come back then, or something again that needs to come in? Because it sounded to me that we don't have a definition then for craft beer. Or will it fall under what is currently in the Act and it will be dealt with under regulations then? I just want to make sure that we don't have to come back in a year's time to amend any definitions again for something that we did not take it for now.
Yes, it is taken for under the definition for beer.
Before you respond, I think we have a decision of this COVID on regulation. So that in the all the legislation, they must have a section dealing with the regulation and tell us what it is that we're going to regulate. So I think it should be all the legislation, we must have that one. So we will not go back to that issue again. So it's the decision of the committee. You can respond that.
Manner and condition and all of the types of requirements are catered for in the regulations. It's not something that you're catered for in the Act itself. The point that we made that we are making legislation for the producers, that is not the case here, because expiry dates, when you do an amendment, you have to look at what is international also in the international arena, and there is specifically on liquor products and wine, there is no expiry date internationally, there is no legislation on expiry date. The point for South Africa though that we should look at is expiry dates of packaging, the plastic packaging, because that's something that's unique to South Africa. So yes, that's something that we will need to look at, and we are busy with that consultation process. It's on the table. It's something that has to be looked at. We have notified industry that we will be looking at the packaging reform. So that is something that will be looked at. We will consider. And but yes, so it will be looked at.
Thank you very much for the response. We'll now go into the deliberation of the hearing first. So, honorable members will then ask questions on the hearing itself, the issues that need to be cleared from them. Thank you. yesterday, honorable members, on the there was an issue that I told them, they are reminding me that I must clarify it again. The issue of the African media, which we said that for the fact that we were saying we don't have even to consult the traditional leaders because we are not contesting the custom part of the African media. Therefore, the African media would stand the way it stands. If anybody does something at something is not an African beer, then we'll fall within the other developments which must be regulated. We don't have to put any gloss on this African beer. And African beer is attached to the custom of the African people. So therefore, if you add something, it's no longer an African beer, something else. So we'll fall within those that need to be regulated and go through process of testing and all those things. Which we have agreed that the part of monitoring will remain difficult. It's not the responsibility of DAPS to monitoring the DPI, to monitoring the issue of the failure and all those things. So I just wanted that to clarify that part.
Chairperson, I understand it like that. My concern is the following, and I think that is also what we discussed previously when the department brought this initially. Is who says if African beer is what it's supposed to be? If we don't put it, because that is what was the problem. People are having events and functions where they then use traditional African beer, but at the end of the day, what they are consuming there is not traditional African beer. So if we don't have a definition or we don't talk about that, who is then responsible to look at that? Do we say, if you have, I make African beer at my house and I say it's African beer, because I'm now saying it's African beer, no one then accepts it because it's acceptable. That is my concern. I'm not saying we must change that. The point is, we are legislating then basically for people to say, I'm making African beer because I'm saying that no one is then responsible. That's what I'm trying to understand. If we exclude it totally, we create a loophole for people to keep on doing what they are currently doing, adding all kinds of things to something that you then just call African beer, and then you can say to the police, but can't be tested because, you know, this is what it's called. I'm trying to see if we are closing that loophole or not. Not trying to say that we must stop people from making it, but who is then responsible at the end of the day to classify or to say what is it? We're just saying no. It's not making sense to me, Chair.
No, I think the African beer was that it has been defined by the traditional, the people who are responsible for the custom of Africa, it's been defined. So if anybody does something else outside that definition, it's not an African beer. That's what we're trying to say. So that no one should, and those that are responsible for the monitoring and arresting or testing, if they find people, they behave like, if you find people behaving some awkward in the environment where they are saying if they've done African beer, they have a right to test what people are taking. Because the African beer, all of us will know how people behave when they drink African beer. So the Africans will know this is not an African beer. Those that drink it, they will know. So, because you know, you don't have to reach a level where you would want to. People still get to want to undermine their own customs. Because that's very important. You see, it's like when, you know, when you meet an old man smoking a blara using a paper. You not assume because it's slacking in the process, there's darker inside that paper. you know, the old men, they can't afford to buy a pipe. They use a newspaper to smoke that blood. And it's legal. But you cannot say when you find this old man laughing alone and saying, I suspect there's a Dakhade. Why is it laughing alone? So I think we should not reach that level because you might over regulate yourselves and your people. And so I think let's settle to what the definition is defined by the custom. Those that are responsible for the custom on African view. So anything that has got any other things as they said. There is nothing wrong with anybody who's given responsibility to test and search when he arrives in any community and find that people are behaving otherwise and say they're saying we're drinking African beer and say, let me test it. He has the right. No one has got will be denied to test that if it's an officer or whatever. And if you find that there is something inside that thing, you can then call the experts to find that has that thing and those that have done wrong things will be charged. Simple as that is. So,
no.
Yes.
No.
It's simple. If you don't...
Shipper,
yes.
So are we going to go train policemen to go and test African beer?
No, it's not police who test.
But you say the guy can...
No, I'm saying the people who are responsible. I'm not saying the police. I'm saying the people who are responsible to test. I mean, there are people who are responsible to test whether this is an alcohol, this is not an alcohol. Those people would know that what is inside this. Then Combo, see something else is not in Combo. So do you bring Combo? Are you going to know whether if you go and test yourself? I cannot test. I would not know.
I don't think I'll.
No, that's what I'm saying. Me and you would not test, but there are people, officers, that will be test, have the responsibility to test.
So that weed sounds like a good idea.
Yeah?
The weed sounds like a good idea.
The what?
Thanks, I apologize by yesterday. Chairperson, we're not going to create the mentality of a big brother on the African customs. We're not going to do that. Creating a big brother to say, you blew it, but I'm watching you. It should be the problem of the deviators. But if I go ahead and make him go mute because I'm drinking Bekumamjat, I can't have a problem with that. It's true that there are people that deviate. Usually, they don't even deviate on the particular event. They deviate on some places outside the customary activity at home. Where they put men off, they put men stain and all that kind of thing. Which I agree, those places should be always under the eye of the authorities. But if we're going to now put the big brother on the customs of Africa, for me, that would be really beginning to arrest the development of the custom again. But whoever that you say, I agree with you, whoever is responsible, will have to have an eye. But please, don't suppress and have an over eye and become a big brother on our customs and our way of life.
No, Chair, I think I'm covered by what the DM just said. And also just to refer members to sub-clause 6B, that deals with requirements. I think that clause does cover most of the issues that we spoke about. And then as it relates to enforcement, like the DM was saying, you can't go and enforce in a traditional custom and so on. But those people who decide to violate the law and so on and so forth, who does those things in corners, people who are responsible will attend to those issues. Thanks, Chair.
Listen, I want to make it clear that I'm not trying to rebutter any custom or tradition. That is not my question. My question that will make me comfortable is whether we can then, this regulation 6B2 or whatever we have, will then make sure that the other people that are doing these things, because it's happening, I don't think we need to discuss the fact that they are sources out there who are doing certain things under the guise of traditional African beer, and then as such, if we are going to be able to regulate or to police or to whatever we need to do that under this act that we are changing now, because that is my concern. My concern is not to try and regulate customs of people, but my concern is for what we have known happening out there. If we are feeling comfortable that could be regulated under what we have here today.
And I just want to say, Honourable Chair, the issue is that let's agree with the definition as defined by those that are responsible for customs. And if people deviate from that, then it's something else, not African beer. They might use the name, but that thing would not be an African beer. Means that those are the deviations. Those that they are deviating, therefore, somebody who's responsible. Because even in, and those things are done in the for sale mainly, because in the custom function, will not, the regulator must be a particular way in line with the custom of those of that nation. But where you find that they mix put other things, it's for the sake. And that's where the law enforcement agencies and those that are responsible for protesting must go there and arrest those people.
So we have
covered
this.
Yes. So I'm going to ask William to take us through so that I hope members have got their own principal bill and the amendment so that we deliberate. Yes.
Yes.
Greetings to all the members and everyone in the house. Thank you, Chairperson. The process will be a little bit convoluted because we do not have the AD as yet, which normally assists the process when we are going through the deliberations, because the process as we go through now, everything we were discussing and coming to a conclusion as to how to move forward. However, I will try my utmost best to take through the process as easy and clear as possible. As the Chairperson has indicated, we need both the Principal Act and the bill, and it will also assist to look through the responses by the department, which then will direct the deliberations and as to whether what is proposed and what the department responded to as is either accepted by the committee or rejected in order to enable the making of the AD that will then correct the bill and eventually would have a B version of the introduced bill. I will try to move with the sections as they appear on the bill, so we will start with clause 1, which clause 1 deals with the definitions, and the definitions are found on the section 1 of the Principal Act. As per the discussion and the standing out definitions that the committee needs to go through and consider, it is in relation to beer, which beer is also inclusive of the sorghum beer or the traditional African beer, which if we go through to page 70, to page 13 of the bill, they also speak to some changes at page 13 and 14. Which other sections speak to the repeal or amendments that will take place? So in terms of clause 1, and in line with what has been deliberated on, there's possibly going to be some relooking at the definitions of beer, as well as considering whether the taking out in relation to what already exists in the Act as suggested in Schedule 13 will take place. So when the A list is prepared, there's going to be something that speaks to beer and the changes as has been discussed by the committee. That is in relation to clause 1.
Any issues, Honourable Member? You agree with me? Yes,
on the definition for liquor product and liquor, the department has indicated on page 4 of their responses by stating to minimize the unintended consequences in terms of licensing, the concern can be addressed in the schedule, which is that page 13 and 14 which I spoke to, in respect of changing the definition for liquor, and they've outlined how it would look like, and that is one of the points that I've just discussed. So in terms of liquor and liquor products, once we have considered what has been said, and in attempting to draft it properly, we'll definitely maybe have a change or a suggestion in terms of what has been deliberated and indicated in respect of liquor as well as the liquor product, in line with what the department has already provided on the schedule at the back of the introduced bill.
Agreed. Okay.
And then we move on the other clauses, like clause 2 and clause 3. The discussions and the responses seem to indicate that there will not be changes on those provisions, but we will still consider and look at all that was discussed, and then when the agency is prepared, the confirmation will arise, and whether there is no changes at all in respect of clause 2 and clause 3.
On clause 2, I just want to get the relevance of what the amendment is indicating. It says that they hereby establish an authority to be known as the wine certification authority, which shall be juristic person. The authority consists of 10 persons, blah, 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 blah. And then Roman figure 2, 3 officers of the department nominated by the department. And then one person, of course, from ARC, I understand, for the side. And then the Roman figure 4, one is
in terms of the paragraph 4, may still be developed, who may not necessarily, who may not be part of the place that are
possible.
Be appointed by the minister. This is still belongs to the minister, not belongs to the chef. Why do we have this? The other three nominated sites, but whose department? And then who's them? Have you divided the department into minister and department? Why is it like that?
Yes, all of them have been coming from the department.
Now we can see why there is no to work. We have a minister
who is on the before we come to that conclusion. DG and GM, you must be able to explain some of these things. Because once you don't explain some of these things at start, you are going to create problems. Because you can't agree all the time. Now, you know, Chair, I have thought that the Roman figure 2, three officers, I think our problem is we'll be nominated by the department. I think the intention was that there must be three officers from the department who form part of the...
No.
So you must remember that whilst I'm not the department, I'm a member, this bill is now before us.
Yes,
now I'm trying to assist in terms of my own understanding how it was supposed to be crafted.
Okay.
They did not craft it properly. I'm saying they were supposed to have crafted it differently in order for it to be understood by everybody. That's the point I'm trying to make. Yes. So what I was saying it should be three people who... You see, now you have confused my things and so on. We're supposed to have removed, nominated by the department. It must just be three people designated by the department to form part of the certificate authority. And then this other person, it is not necessarily a person from the department, it could be anybody who the minister might decide to include as part of the certification authority. That is my understanding. And for what I think the confusion comes where you say must be nominated by the department. That's where the confusion is. Because it appears that we are separating the department from the minister. So that's the point I wanted to make, Chair, because I was worried that they were saying yes, without them trying to explain fully that it's a problem of this English that is written here.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chief. I think the yes part was to the three officials and the nomination by the department, which we make an admission on. But in terms of Roman figure 2, we would still would want to it to be the three officers of the department, because it provides a balance. The other person would be a representative of the minister in terms of industry knowledge, and the others would then be officers of the department with knowledge about the operations of the department and the operations of the Liquor Act, and therefore the articulation here would have been an issue around separation of responsibilities in terms of the department and also somebody who comes from the industry person. Thank you very much.
I think Governor from Malay has put it better than me. So I could see that it qualifies to be next to me. Because You know, if you are saying nominated by the department, seated here and say the other one must be designated by minister. I think in other legislation where minister has to make other people elaborate all those things and say the minister is given the power to nominate other people to complement the work of the chief. That's what the minister will do. Minister has given powers to nominate any other person. This is not the representative of the minister. The representative of the minister here is the official. But in the interest of public participation and people that we serve, then the minister must be allowed to nominate any other person which he thinks can actually complement the work of the chief. So I think you have put it correctly then. Is nominated by department.
Chair, my computer is up for scrutiny next to the DM. And he will attest to my red note that the nomination part has been defeated by myself in terms of the articulation as we are speaking.
Okay.
So what I was pronouncing on was that there is a difference between that person and an officer. The officer is already defined in terms of the act, and the person would be any other person.
Yes.
So that was the emphasis that I was
talking about. Okay, can we pass this one?
Thank you, Chairperson. That means in clause 2 there's going to be changes in respect of what has just been discussed.
Okay.
You can proceed, sir. Thank you, Chairperson. And under clause 3, it doesn't look like there are changes. That indicated that the content 0.5 that is being suggested as the percent for alcohol beverages will remain as the department has explained and to align it with international standards as well.
Okay.
For clause 4, which speaks to section 6, the corrections that they are proposing as in the introduced bill would not have any changes as per the responses by the department in the submissions that were received. But in relation to the insertion of all the six with all the new alphabets, 6A up until to 6C, it is the insertion that we will just need to consider seriously in relation to the definitions and all the definitions that they want repealed and changed. But if there are any changes that are picked up, there will possibly be an ABS amendment on the insertion of 6A, 6B, and 6C. But so far, the discussions and the responses by the department does not seem to provide any changes except in relation to the ones that appeared on the schedule of the laws amended in the attached schedule at the end of the bill.
Honorable Sir,
Chair, for clarification, I just want to ensure again that under these changes in regulations and requirements and definitions and all kinds of things, the whole issue of the sugar and sugar added products will be covered, because I think that is also one of the concerns. that will come into the regulations. I just want to be clear for myself. Thank you.
Just to confirm, that will be covered under Section 6C, other fermented beverages. That's where the sugar, and I'm 5-7, that's where the sugar fermented beverages will be accounted. Thank you, Chair. In respect of Section 10 and the submissions that were presented, as in the introduced bill, the department was suggesting that the whole section be repealed. So out of the discussions, again, there seems to be no changes either to retain or make corrections. So that clause 6 will remain as a repealed provision of Section 10. Again, in clause 11, in clause 7, which seeks to deal with section 11 of the Principal Act, Chairperson, because there's a relation to beer and what is being done there, we will just consider if everything is still in alignment and it makes sense. Otherwise, there should be no changes because it is a substitution of what they seek to take as the expression of the word beer to align it with the whole Act as it stands and these amendments that are being proposed. But we will just look into it for purposes of checking there are no consequential corrections that need to be done. In respect of clause 8, we will also just have to properly reconsider it, taking into account all that has been deliberated and indicated by the members.
I'm not sure what that means, because we were deliberating that one of 0.5% and 1%, so I'm not sure what was just meaning. Because the department, in their response that we received this morning, they said that we can look at the 1%. I just want to know if that is what we are saying there.
Yes, to clarify, section, this clause 8, section 16 must still be lower to 0.5% because we're taking it into the scope of the Liquor Product Act. So the product between 0.5 and 1% will therefore be administered by the department to look at labeling and composition and to place. But at the end, we look at the schedule of law and amend it. We will make the definition for licensing purposes under the Liquor Act that will then be 1%. So you will, when you look back at page, it will be on page 14, where there's a reference to the amendment of the Liquor Act 2003. So there where liquor is defined, you will define liquor for the purposes of licensing as starting from 1%. So the 0.5 to 1% products will therefore need a license, and that will address the unintended consequences of the licensing. But for the department side, we will still regard it as a liquor product, and we will still look at labeling precisely.
Listen, I don't know if it's clear, maybe I'm not exactly sure. So can I just clarify? Up from 0.5%, there is nothing, not even labeling, that regulates that. and only from 0.5 to 1 does it then become an issue.
If I can clarify, what we are saying is from 0.5 onwards, it then becomes a liquor product. Below 0.5, the food substance mix and disinfectant act will be the act governing it as a food. So anything below 0.5 is a food, anything above 0.5 with alcohol becomes a liquor product.
We don't have that overlap at this stage with that overlap or the gap that Avery actually opens. Really basically results into saying there will be no changes in section in clause 8, which seeks to change section 16 of the food code. Thank you, Chair. Section 17, clause 9, which deals with section 17 of the Principal Act, also is in similar terms with what is for section 16, so unless there are consequential changes that we need to correct content wise, there should be no changes.
Agreed?
That seeks to clarify the entry into the premises. There were no discussions or concerns, but it does lead to the provision that will pass constitutional matter because it's the right to dignity and the involvement of people there when there must be an entry that seems to be covered in line with the judgment that the Constitutional Court has given us. So for clause 17, for clause 10, which seeks to correct to amend section 18, doesn't look like there will be changes or an ABIS amendment change. Then into in clause 11, which speaks to section 19, there were submissions and there are concessions that the department has indicated, so there is definitely to be amendments in line with what has been deliberated and what will change section 19 to what the introduced bill said. And then we move to clause 12, which deals with section 20 of the Principal Act. And section 20 is analysis of samples. From the deliberations, it doesn't seem like there were changes that must result in this section.
Why do you want to specify this? Why are we not saying department? What department do you mean when you say the breach? Why do you want to specify breach? I know the breaches in terms of the accounting officer, but minister is an executing authority. And if the minister is the one whose account, who must account on the legislation, the implementation of the legislation, he must make sure that everybody is doing the work. Why do you want to specify the arrest agenda instead of the department?
Because
Officer, it will be then the officer who is an expert on the matter. very clear.
Thank you very much, Chen. And it has arose within ourselves a debate, as you can see, the conference that we are having. Because as we peg it at departmental level, it might say that any person within that line would be signing off on that particular issue, which makes it very difficult. So I think in terms of this act, it was to say where the emphasis and the power to sign off would be. And that power would, from my own point of view, because I have not yet confessed, it's my own view, is that it also does two things. It separates. It says the responsibility would then be on the DG in terms of that particular item of administration, to separate it from the whole management that is there within the administration of the staff. And the accountability, therefore, still has got to be ministerial. So that's how it comes in, so that when a decision is being taken, it is not who has got to take a decision within the department. It is known who takes the decision, because otherwise we would run with items where ISDDG would be taking decisions in terms of a particular act, because the act is not expressed enough for us to do certain things. Thank you very much.
The PMMA outlined very clearly. The Public Service Act gives the executive authority the power, and then the PMMA elaborates on the powers that is given to the DG. And it says any decision that involves so much money and this gives you those directions, then you know that as an officer, even if you are an expert, you can't take decisions because it's involving millions. It's involving, it's representative of the department. You can't represent the department as an officer. So I'm just saying that, you know, our public service is becoming something else. If you can't define those things, we've got a serious problem. Because even an officer can think that he can take a decision on behalf of the department to give other institutions responsibility and officer, then you have a very serious problem. Is it an issue of legislation or is it an issue of a workshop or educating the officials?
I would confide to that it may be either of the two, but I would only one, on this one, stick to the legal aspect of it, so that I do not confuse the honorable member. By virtue of us having different legislative pieces in government that prescribes where the responsibility would be, like the examples that Honorable Chair has used of the PFMA, it clearly outlines what should happen in terms of the financial aspect. And this one, if it was similar to the PFA, would outline who does what in terms of government line of funds. So it would outline what the DG has got to do. It would outline what the administrative officer would do. It would say to the minister what are the powers of the minister, of which he can designate or even others he can delegate. So that's the separation that we thought that this act would then bring clarity in terms of the line of each and every person's responsibilities and accountability. Thank you very much.
Let's proceed, because I
cannot
convince the government. Because the same thing, just we wanted to name the Director General. Because department is Director General, by the definition of the legislation, the Director General and the Minister.
So, to confirm Chairperson, do we leave it as this?
I was still going to do gross by gross.
Thank you, Chairperson. We move to clause 16, which deals
that there is nothing that has been calling for changes in South 13 and 14, as well as 15, and so we move straight to South 16, which deals with Section 27, that is about the regulations and the making of the regulations by the minister. For this one, the department indicated nothing, but from our purposes, the point that the chairperson alluded to indicate that for a resolution by this committee has been taken that any regulation that arises from the legislation that comes from this committee, it should come to Parliament, so there shall be a provision that speaks to that in relation to Section 101, Subsection 4 of the Constitution. So we will provide a method there as to how the regulations will come and be approved by Parliament. I think the committee just needs to give us an indication whether we say it comes to Parliament for approval by Parliament, or it should relate only to the PC or both houses of Parliament. But the Constitution allows us to provide for the process in terms of how Parliament will approve regulations, but we can also indicate whether both houses are involved or just one. Thank you, Chairperson.
Do you want to comment on this one?
Thank you, Chairperson. And then clause 17 and clause 18 will just give an extra eye to make sure that everything, especially for grammar and aligning with the whole Principal Act and the bill itself, is correct. But in respect of clause 19, the amended laws on the schedule, there's definitely to be some changes once we've given consideration that is needed, as well as set with the department to prepare the ADs and prepare the discussions and the deliberations. But I think one thing I need to indicate on page 13, the second column, where they speak to Act 27 of 1989, which is the Liquor Act. I think the department just needed to verify and give clarity there whether was that the act they meant to refer to, because that act has already been repealed, unless we meant to make the correction of Act 60, the one that we have been referring to all this time, as the one that is still valid and being amended. So there, whether the correction for the number 27 must change to 60 or it remains as 27, it's just a verification that the department must give us. On page 13.
Chairperson, you would just have to verify that the these are officials and checking on the correct thing, and possibly if there is to be a change, then we will effect the change that we have all confirmed in line with that.
Okay.
And take up to the end, Chairperson, and perhaps an indication whether the memo would also need to be corrected, or we leave it as is, the memorandum of objects on the bill, in line with whatever changes would have been accepted and proposed. Thank you, Chair.
Yes, okay. Because again, on the memorandum, the issue of the board, I think, has followed the approach of other legislation. That already we have as we said, well, it must be systematic. So it's something that we have come to some other issues. Any other issues, members? Okay.
So just to take you back just a little bit, Chair, I agree with you that in terms of clause 12, we will deliberate on it. But I want to make a suggestion that the parliamentary legal service must also advise on it, having taken into consideration what the PSA says, what the PFMA says, and so on, in the next meeting when we deliberate on it.
Okay. Honorable Speaker, just lastly, Chair, I think while we have the DM here today, also on the implications for the state, we will require the appointment of 4 additional inspectors in the current post-establishment, and under the financial implications, the 4 inspectors that were in there. Just to clarify the role of those inspectors, and will they be then going out and then informing the SAP, or what is the role exactly of the inspectors? Because many of the submissions that we receive also have to do with the fact that the state actually can't monitor that we are keeping making on laws and regulations, but if you can't monitor it, what is the use then?
Okay. We have a division within the Department of Agriculture, Land Inspection, called Inspection Services, and they are currently administering the Act. They are currently enforcing the Act for all other liquor products. So what we have been requesting is that we add the 4 additional inspectors to assist with the additional monitoring on beer, traditional African beer, and the other 3 liquor beverage. So that's the intention, is that they will be added to the current personnel complement. And we will also be making use of that. We are currently looking enforcement of liquor, so and we will be having training of those steps personnel if needed. But at the moment, we need that 4 additional people to look at the enforcement when it comes under the scope of the Act and the regulations.
Okay. Any other questions?
Chairperson, I can't say I'm happy, but I'm noting the response, because I can't say how 4 people is going to be enough, but that's fine.
Nothing I can do about it. Okay, thank you very much. Again.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just one more thing. I think it slipped my head. On clause 8, for section 16, I think there was a proposal that speaks to amending section 16.5 of the Principal Act. It came from
one of the submissions and the department indicated that they have no issues with taking it into account as well. But I think in my presentation I have indicated that there will be nothing in 16. There's going to be an amendment in 16.5 of the Principal Act. Even though it was not part of the introduced bill, but Section 16 is being amended. In this instance, on the introduced bill, it was only on the percentage. But the 16.5 is a provision within 16, which says that there are changes that need to be made and that the department concurs. So that amendment will also appear on the 8th in terms of 16.5.
Chairperson, if you can just remind us what was done again in 16.5, what was done?
Ask the department to speak to it. There might be a confusion there. The reference that we made was when we referenced section 16.5 was because we wanted a similar provision to be included under section 19 where we wanted a similar treatment, and it was also support that Salva actually presented the comments initially and asked that section 19 be amended to allow for the department to be able to confiscate non-compliant legal product instead of taking the producer to court. We can take them to court, but in addition, that we are able to confiscate the legal product because we aren't able at the moment, and that was agreed. So what we said, we wanted to just ensure that it's in line with the current existing requirement under Section 16.5, so there won't be an amendment to Section 16.5. Sorry for that.
It is clear, Honorable. Thank you. Thank you very much. That was the end of the discussion on the liquor product amendment day. So we will then give it to the parliamentary legal service to produce the AD for the preparation draw by draw, and then then go into the process, the B list of finalizing the B itself, so as to continue back to the National Assembly. And thank you very much, Honorable Members. Okay.
Chairperson, can I just ask that we receive this summary from the department or the responses also via email, because we are leaving here and I don't want to take the documents with me so that when you look at it again in preparation for clause by clause, you can refer back to the department submissions of this morning.
Is it this and the second level? No. Procedure is that when the department machine, when you distribute the document, the electronic version must be headed over with it. Because this thing that will be scanned later is the problem. So it must be given to Albertina before you leave. I bet you've got that version. Yes. Thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
we will suspend the discussion around them. And the honorable members can allow the CM and the team to excuse themselves. Thank you very much. That can be made.